Hi there, welcome to the Animation Industry Podcast. My name is Terry, and I really like pizza jewelry and accessories, like pizza themed, like I have pizza earrings and like pizza keychain, etc. But I've had a really, really tough time finding a pizza slice ring, which would be super cool to match with my earrings and stuff. So if anyone knows where I can get one, please hit me up because I would really like a pizza slice ring. This chat is with a man who is world famous for animating bouncy, ridiculous, meme-y cats. And his name is Alec, and he runs Catino World on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and everywhere else you can find Catino World. Currently, he's on his way to reaching 100 million views on Instagram and TikTok, which is insane. And in our chat, he's going to share exactly what he's done to basically monetize animating this silly little cat character that he's created on social media and making a complete living off of it, which is the dream. Including, you know, how he's been able to consistently go viral, what algorithms work and what don't, and the most consistent way he has built to retain a paying audience. So without further ado, let's jump in.
Hello, Alec. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long day working. Yeah. Gonna have to work after this, finish up a project, but whatever. Anyways, right. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you. So Catino World, you have somehow capitalized on making, you found like a niche of like super duper blobby cute like videos and memes together, and you've made a career out of it. How does that feel? Yes.
It is surreal, honestly.
Like in my mind, there's like those derpy little frogs that squeak, and then there's Catino World that also squeaks. Yeah. Those like that's the internet basically right now.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's insane because of just how fast it happened. Really, I mean, it went from I had 200 followers, like October 2022, and by the end of the month, I had like 50,000. So it was like a crazy growth.
Let me ask you about that, because like I have a very old Instagram. It's over a decade old. And when I started posting my art, it went from 300 followers, and a whole year of posting every single day later, I had 500 followers. So like I knew when I got a new follower, and I was like clicking at that person. I was like, how did they, the heck did they find this really strange watercolor comic that I'm doing? But like, how does it feel to like all hours of the day, so you're getting like 100 new followers every single hour? Like what does that do to your mind?
Yeah, I think there's definitely like a chasing dopamine kind of like aspect to it, especially when you first get started and you're like, you post a video and you just see the likes and follows come in, and you're like, oh my gosh, this feels insane. But honestly, eventually it kind of just, you get used to it, and it's like, and also as you grow, the like number that makes you go, wow, also gets bigger.
Right.
So it's like, at first you get 1,000 likes, you're like, whoa, like 1,000 people, that's a lot of people. Then at a certain point when you're used to getting like 20,000 likes, if you get like even 5,000 likes, you're like, oh, like this post bombed.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of remind yourself like, okay, that's still a lot of people. This is like still,
you know, somebody that doesn't even have a lot of followers, when I go on somebody's Instagram account and they're like an influencer or something, and I'll go to their reels and they'll have like 5 million views for one reel, and the next reel will have like 200,000 views, I'll be like, I'm not even going to bother watching that one because nobody liked it. But it's still 200,000 like views or likes or whatever.
Yeah.
So from my experience, because like I had such a slow, I mean, I don't even have a lot of followers still, but like when somebody comments on something, like it's usually like a very personal conversation. I probably know the person, etc. But like, do you feel any relationship with any of your followers like after a certain point, or do you still like recognize people commenting like on every?
Yeah, there's definitely like a few people that I do recognize, people who comment a lot and people who've been around for a while. I am blessed to have a really nice community. Like, they are just super awesome and supportive and nice. And especially on Instagram, which is my biggest like where my biggest following is.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are super nice, and just here, so the comments will always be really supportive, especially on Instagram, and it's always nice to see.
Yeah, it's like each social media has different. Like Twitter gives you hate, Instagram is nice, TikTok is just
Yeah.
like
I
people.
know, it's really interesting the different cultures. Yeah, TikTok, I never look at the comments
Don't.
because yeah, they're so
They're all
sometimes
over
people
the
be
place.
arguing about something completely
Yeah.
unrelated to my video in my comments. And I'm like, I okay, what? Why?
So, okay, like, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but with the comments,
Okay.
like, do you know what type of people these are? Like, are these like 10-year-old kids? Are these like 50-year-old people? Like, do you have an idea of the demographic that you've hit on with
Yeah,
Katina?
I
Like,
mean, based on, I mean, I have like analytics, but that in combination with just seeing the way people talk and seeing like if people like post a picture like with like a plushie or like a shirt, it tends to really be people like mid-20s and people like early 30s. Like that's like kind of the range. There's definitely some kids, and there's also some people like whose like little kids are like who also like it. So it's like a family thing, I guess. Like,
I mean, not all your stuff is very family friendly.
I know, I think it's kind of funny, honestly. I'm like, are you like limiting which ones they see?
So if you're like playing the social media game to keep, because we'll talk about it later, but this is your
Yeah.
career basically. Are you thinking of your demographic in mind when you make something new, or are you just making things that tickle your own fancy, I guess?
I mostly think of demographic when I'm like making merch.
Hmm.
When I make videos, I really try to just make whatever I want to make. Because I feel like when you get too obsessed with like demographics and like who's gonna like this, the art kind of sucks. I mean, that's not always the case, but generally
Yeah,
you
just
tend to
brings
like it
business.
less. Yeah, and it's like then it's not fun. So
But
yeah, I
like,
try to just make stuff for me.
there's like something to be said to like really try to play to your audience if this is like how you're making your living, right? Like, at what point are you gonna say to yourself, like, I'm gonna keep, so say you reach a point in the future where you're not hitting as hard on social media anymore and you're risking your career with Catino. Are you gonna say to yourself, like, I'm gonna keep doing what I wanna do even though it's not hitting as hard? Or am I gonna try to steer myself towards what my demographic wants now that I have a really good grasp of like who these people are to try to keep the business going?
Yeah,
That's like
I
something that everybody faces.
for sure. And I think like definitely you get to a point where you've got a following and you start to worry like, okay, now I've got to start making stuff that they like. But I personally believe that like authenticity and having fun with what you make is so important. It always wins out.
Yeah.
Once you start becoming obsessed with like who's gonna like it, because you don't know what anyone's gonna like. The only thing I know for sure is if I like something. If something makes me laugh, I'm like, well, that's the only thing I know for sure. I laughed at it. I don't know what people will think.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my guiding principle. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, so I guess another question that comes out of that is like, this like a social media career with animation and like memes. Well, I don't know if you would consider what you do memes, but I mean like in that vein is like
Yeah.
fairly new. Is there like a model that you can follow, or like are there other creators that you like kind of like see their path and try to aspire to be them, or are you just like figuring it out as you go
Yeah, I mean, it's
along
a
the
little
way?
bit of both. There are definitely some creators that I looked to when I was first starting. But for the most part, yeah, it's kind of like this is new, and I'm kind of just figuring it out as I go. I think at every like couple years or so, the landscape, especially on the internet, the landscape changes so much that it's really hard to look back and say like, I'm gonna replicate what this person did. Like you look at like the era of like say let's say like Viners moving to YouTube. That was such like a specific thing of like this one app shutting down. Now there's an influx of people who want content. They're moving somewhere else, and there's all these creators who need a new place to post. And so yeah, you kind of have to just you can learn from other people, but you do sort of have to just like figure it out and figure out what works for you.
Would you say you're like a risk taker, to pursue something like this rather than like, the more tried and true career path like a lot of people do by trying to like enter the industry through a studio or something like that?
I don't even know if I would say I am that much of a risk taker, but I think I was just in the right place to take a risk. When the Catino stuff blew up, it was because I had just gotten laid off from a video editing gig that was supposed to last like several months. And I was like, well, I'm unemployed now. They had laid off like the whole team. And so I was like, well, I'm just gonna put everything into these. I had been making memes for a bit with a different account, Half Cactus, and they had done okay. I had built like a small following on TikTok, so I was like, "Well, I have all this time. Let's just do the thing I've been wanting to do for a long time. Let's just make animations. Let's just really go out."
How would you, so like you're just laid off from work. Now you don't have income anymore. But at the same time, you're like, great, this is a good opportunity for me to just dive into animation for social media without any knowledge that it's going to blow up. I have to ask, like, did you have, savings to like last you that while? Did you have somebody else supporting you? Like, not a lot of people would. They get laid off, they would immediately scramble to find a new job.
Yeah, I had savings. And so that's the thing is that like I was in a unique position where I had the ability to chase the dream. So it definitely was, I guess, yeah, it was a risk for sure. I had been, but I and my mindset was that I had been trying. The film industry was like crippled by COVID, and I had been trying for so long to get a job in the industry, and it was not panning out. So my mindset was like frustration. Like it feels like if I try looking for a job, that's going to be just as futile. I'm just going to, and I had this blind, this unfounded belief that it would work. I was like, if I put everything into this, I feel like it can work. I had seen that people liked it on TikTok, so I was like, well, clearly there are people who like the content I make. Can I grow it to a bigger scale? Let's try. And then it worked. So it was just a combination of circumstance and having that ability to be able to take that risk,
Interesting.
which not everyone has,
And also
of
like
course.
this confidence that you're going to make it work regardless.
Yeah.
But I guess also some proof that it was working, because like it's not like you were trying for like a year without seeing any success and then like being like, all right, let's
Yeah,
bump
like
it
I
up.
said, I had 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Well,
So I
okay.
was, yeah, so well, I
Okay,
mean,
well, that's
TikTok.
a very key
Yes. Yeah, I consider it small on TikTok because it's really easy to get a big number. And big numbers on TikTok are worth less than I think people believe.
I mean, fair. I actually let's dial it back a little bit, because you mentioned you were in video editing and whatnot. So you don't actually have a background in animation, but now you animate basically full time for work, right?
Yeah, I don't have a formal education in animation. I taught myself the good old-fashioned way with MS Paint and Windows Movie Maker
Wow.
when I was 11. And then I graduated to Flash shortly after, and I was a Flash animator for a long time, just making my own works and teaching myself. And
Okay.
my
But
edu I mean,
you
my
didn't
real
like go to
education was,
school for animation, right? You
pardon me?
didn't go to school for animation.
No, I didn't go
Like
to
a
school for
hobby.
animation.
What did you go to school for?
I went to school for film.
Okay. I mean, that's very well, like I didn't go to school for film, but like I imagine
Yeah.
you learn like principles of cinematography,
There's
history.
lots of, yeah, there's definitely overlap. I learned a lot about composition, and the main thing I wanted to learn was screenwriting.
So do you, okay, so interesting. So why did you go into film? Did you have like aspirations to like work on movies and TV shows and things?
Yeah, my initial goals were like I wanted to be a writer for animated TV, and
Wow.
yeah.
All right, so for animation, so basically, are you do you feel like you're living your goal of being a writer for animation for TV right
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like I am kind of like living what I want to be doing.
now? Interesting.
At this point, it's just now I just think about trying to grow it and doing the projects that I can do now that I've got this following.
Gotcha. So, man, I have so many questions. I guess one is you mentioned like a big following on TikTok is not as much worth as much as you would think. Like I would think, 100,000 followers on TikTok, like yeah, you have to keep getting their attention, but like can you
Yeah.
direct traffic to merch? Can you get ads, ad revenue? Can you, I don't know, get companies to pay you to make and whatever in your style of animation because you have a big audience or something? 'Cause
Yeah.
I know people who have done that. They basically are animators for TikTok or Instagram and YouTube. And then companies pay them to create ads with their animation style that also goes to their audience. So it's like an automatic like to their followers. It's already a big audience. So like,
Yeah.
tell me about that with TikTok and also like Instagram and
Yeah,
YouTube.
well, first I need to be careful with my words because first of all, like I have a skewed perspective being a creative or being a creator, and also it's different for every creator. So like my experience is not necessarily going to line up with everyone else who even has the same size following with me. For example, like one of my friends who's a creator, his TikTok following is like a very invested community where people are really like invested in his work. But I find that to be pretty rare. Most of the other creators I've talked to, there isn't really much of a community on their TikTok. It's sort of people are passing by. People are sort of passing through. Even if they have big followings, it seems like people aren't really returning. A lot of the views are new people, almost every time. And that's sort of been my experience with TikTok.
Well, like imagine you instead of like animating cats, you were part of a very niche, I don't know, you do like ceramic tips and only people who are really into pottery would follow you. I guess that would be more of a community thing versus like, I'm just scrolling TikTok and come across this really funny video. I guess.
Sorry, what are you?
Well, I'm just wondering, like how have you
Yeah.
monetized these different channels? Because you just said
Right.
like, people come to you and leave and like there's high turnover.
Yeah, I think for me, TikTok has never been a place where there's much turnover, like going to my shop, for example. Like on Instagram, I have a really like dedicated community, and that's where I really feel like I'm able to like talk with people and I'm really like heard. And people are really invested, and I can also like see on my like shop analytics that people are coming from Instagram to my shop. So I can see that like people aren't really coming from TikTok, even if I have a video that like does really well. It's not as high. And I also think that and MatPat actually of Game Theory, he did an interesting video on like shorts and like short form content and like the differences in how people interact with it. And it's exactly my experience where like on TikTok, they're not really seeing it as like as a community they're joining. They're more seeing it as like, oh, I saw this funny video, but I'm not really that invested in who made it. Instagram, interesting. At least for me, seems to be more like YouTube, where people are like joining and they feel invested into it. So that's been my experience.
Okay, makes sense. I mean, like, I kind of, I'm as you're talking, I'm thinking about like how I treat Instagram versus like TikTok. Yeah, TikTok, well, I don't even have a TikTok, but like if I ever see something, it's just like, hey, share it with your friends. I found this silly video versus like Instagram. I have like, is basically like how I contact even my friends now. I just Instagram DM.
No, there's, yeah, I definitely have friends who we stay in touch through sending memes. Like, yeah.
It's crazy. Okay, so like, so you work on this full time. What does your day to day look like? Because like, I see you posting about once or twice a week or so. Like, what is the average day for Alec look like to keep the Tino world running so that you're working full time? Like,
I try to keep a good balance of working on creative videos and running my shop. Last year was a lot of shop work. because it was just all me doing the work and running like my I have a Patreon where I do like a sticker club. So that obviously takes a lot of time. I have to like package and ship the stickers. A lot of my merch right now is print on demand. So that is nice to have something that I'm not necessarily too involved with, though the customer service side is definitely can be intensive at times. So it's, yeah, last year was a lot of feeling like, wow, like I'm really being consumed by like becoming like an e-commerce business and less of like, an artist. So this year I've really made goals to sort of, I'm in a transition period with my shop where I'm going to be having a company sort of handle the fulfillment for me, where I can do more custom products, and I'm really excited about that. And that'll free up a lot of time for me to like focus on videos, which is what I'm, it's the reason I started doing this, is I want to make content and funny animations with cats.
Hey, that's the dream, honestly.
Right, is it not?
I'm curious. So you make like all of your income from merch, or like the majority of it from merch? Wow.
My income comes, vast majority is from merch and Patreon. The platforms that I am most popular on do not really pay you to make content. So you have to sort of find your own revenue streams. And I've never really looked into like sponsorships or anything like that.
And this is what, so this is what you do full time. So basically this is like, this is your, all your income. It's like, are you working part time or anything on anything else?
No, this is all my income.
That's incredible, especially, with the high cost of living these days.
I'm
Cause
definitely not rich, but I
I
live and I am happy.
well, cause like, I'm wondering, like, merch sales, I don't really sell any merch, so I don't know, but I'm assuming that the margins are like pretty small, so you'd have to sell a lot to like
Yeah, it
make
sort of
it.
depends on what you're selling. And it also helps to just have like the Patreon is a huge thing where, I know every month that there's going to be a certain amount of people who are supporting me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, it's just, it all comes down to having a community that really cares and wants to support you. Like this would not be possible without the people who support me, without the people who really like my work. And I'm like eternally grateful to these people because like they are the reason this happens. Like, and it's interesting when this relationship exists and like it's acknowledged and I'm like, hey, thank you guys, like you are allowing this to happen. And they're like, hey, thanks for the content, here's our support. It's really interesting and it's surreal.
Isn't that crazy when you just like make something and put it out there and like some stranger around the world is like, I want to financially support you doing
It
this?
actually is so insane. That does not stop being crazy to me. Like it's wild. It's
Like you're
wild.
hitting like it's so hard to get money from people.
I know.
So you're hitting like some like very sweet spot for like some people that they just are like, wow, I have to send this guy money. That's incredible. Congratulations. I
Yeah,
think that's
thank
awesome.
you.
So
Thank
okay,
you.
but like okay, from my view, 320,000 followers on Instagram, that hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok, but they're not worth anything. YouTube subscribers, Patreon, et cetera. Like how how do you see this growing further? Like, do you need to like, is the next goal like to get 1 million followers? Like, have you hit like kind of a stagnation of followers with your art? Like, because at some point well, I don't know, you can become like Hello Kitty where the whole freaking world is so
It's
saturated
me.
because everybody has a Hello Kitty doll in their house at this point in the world. Or like Pokemon or something. Like, what is the next step for you to pursue this like career wise? You've been doing this seriously for two a
Yeah,
year and a
two
half.
almost yeah, almost 2 years. Yeah, almost 2 years now. I mean, it's funny you say, but like, is 1 million my goal on Instagram? I feel like 300,000 is such an inconceivable number that I'm like, I don't know if mentally I'll feel any different, like growing to 1 million. Like, it's such a huge number. But I mean, that's not to say it's not like a goal to keep growing. And my account definitely hasn't stagnated. Like, I hit 300,000 a few, like less than 2 weeks ago, and now
Yeah, I
I'm at
saw that you
320, I
made
think.
a
Like,
cute little animation about
yeah.
it. And it's been 20,000 followers since. Yeah, that's
I
crazy.
know, which I looked at that today and I was like, oh my God, like, what? Where did these come from? But I think my goal from here is I really want to move towards YouTube because I just feel I've gotten a little burnt out with like meme content. And that definitely is a lot of what my content was for a long time. And, you know, like I mentioned, like I went to school for writing. I love to write. That's like a big passion of mine. So I really want to start experimenting with longer form content and original content. And like now I have so many talented friends who are incredible voice actors. And to just be able to collaborate more with them and create bigger projects. And, you know, YouTube is absolutely the place for that. So that's really my big goal is to sort of grow there and get my following to sort of hop on board.
Yeah, I mean, like, that makes a lot of sense. And there are people like I don't know if you know, like Cass Vanderpaal or whatever, like that do
Yeah.
consistent animation on YouTube and have millions of subscribers and like take
Yeah.
a whole team making those animations. Like, do you foresee I mean, your YouTube is big and but it's not like 320,000 followers and like millions of
Yeah.
everything, right? Like, there's a lot of growth there
Yeah.
still. So do you see like, you know, pulling together a team to like create Catino World like shorts or like completely different stuff?
Yeah, it's it time will tell, honestly, what exactly becomes of like Catino on YouTube and how that content will evolve. Like it's obvious to everybody who's in the animation community, like YouTube has not been the most hospitable place for animation.
Yeah.
Or like scripted content of any kind, really, for a long time. It's interesting to see how Instagram and TikTok and the rise of like short form content has sort of brought up this like re this this new wave of animators coming in. And so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what works transitioning over into YouTube, which is quite a different space and like. As I'm sort of trying to grow there, I'm realizing like different things work. Like there's different kinds of content that like the YouTube algorithm will push.
So what have you
So yeah.
learned specifically about like the algorithms to make sure that you're always kind of hitting the right notes?
Oh God, the algorithms, man. The the best thing I can tell you about the algorithms is that as soon as you figure them out, they change. It's like on Instagram, I feel like part of the reason I grew was I was really lucky in that I started making reels right when Instagram had put them out and was really pushing people to make reels.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of people at the time, not many people, actually, I don't know how many people will remember this, but there were a lot of people who were resistant to reels.
Oh, I
They
was.
would put like, yeah, they would put like an image beside the video. To make it like a carousel post so it wouldn't turn into a reel. And I was like, no, I'm just gonna try like the other thing reels are cool. I'm like, sure, let's do it. So I focused on reels and I guess because Instagram was pushing anyone who made a reel, I started getting in front of people's feeds. So I think that has to do with it to an extent. But then of course, you know, reels took off, they were successful, and Instagram said, okay, well now we're gonna do other things. And I was like, okay, now I have no idea what you want from me. But, you know, as much as people like to complain about the algorithm, to an extent, people see your stuff. Like when you have a big following, except on TikTok, which is kind of different and weird, and we can talk about that if you'd like. But to an extent, when you have a big following, people are going to see what you post. And sometimes there's peaks and valleys. Like sometimes I have a few months where people aren't seeing my stuff and it's discouraging, but it always seems to come back where, you know, the videos start doing well again.
That's good to hear. I'm
Yeah.
wondering, like, as you're talking, you know, you're talking about all the social media, et cetera, and I'm just thinking about like the career of an independent artist over the span of time. Like, first it was like you had to have your own website that people would like somehow find and then go to
Yeah.
every week to like tune in, like Homestar Runner, if you remember
Oh,
that,
I love Homestar.
where it
Yeah.
was like, I don't know how I found it, But I was there for Strong Bad Emails
Yeah.
every time they were updated. But
I
like
would
that
nominate
doesn't
Teen Girl Squad.
or Teen Girls, yeah. But that doesn't exist anymore. Like
It's so
like
interesting, I
in
know.
10 years, social medias have like attracted all the audiences. But in 10 more years, who knows where they're going? So like, do you ever see yourself like basically for almost 2 years you've been playing like the independent creator career game. Do you ever see yourself going into like TV or film or whatever animation, if it's animation or film,
Yeah.
if you have the opportunity, or are you like, no, I caught the bug and like I want to do my independent thing regardless of where I have to do it?
I'm not like so opposed to traditional media. I just don't trust it right now. The landscape is
You and
very
every other animator who's worried about the
yeah.
industry right now.
You know, like especially on Twitter, I have a lot of mutuals who are actually in the like the traditional industry. And it just seems very scary. Like people are losing jobs left and right. You know, people are, you know, there's AI and companies are trying to use that, and
Yeah.
who knows where that's gonna go.
Do you feel a threat of AI? Like, because the average animator, or illustrator, or even, well, concept artist, goodbye.
Yeah.
Basically, they're all scared because all the studios are, you know, it's easier for a producer to just use AI to come up with something rather than pay
Yeah.
tons of money. Do you feel?
I have hope about AI simply because at one point someone's going to start using AI to generate using Disney properties, and then hopefully Disney will be like, "Okay, now we got to shut it down. It's affecting us." No, I don't know. I hope that because it literally only functions based on taking so much information
Yeah.
that is not like people aren't consenting. You know, the very fact that that's the reason it works, I hope will lead to it being, you know, regulated in some way. Like if AI was like people are consenting to having their images used in this, and it's like, hey, like I made this artwork, I'm gonna allow it to be used for whatever reason. But you know, then it wouldn't work the way it works because it has to scrape through like,
Right.
you know, an insane amount of content. So do I feel threatened by it? I don't really know. I
Well, I
mean,
guess like my thought is like, what's to stop an AI from creating, like, you know, scanning the internet, creating memes that are trending, and using like a cute little cat, for instance, a blob cat to do the meme, or like of a song or something. Like, that seems that almost in my mind, I never thought about that aspect of AI, but that seems much more plausible than like creating a 20-minute TV show completely in AI. At this stage, I mean, I'm 100% positive we're going to get there. Doesn't make sense if we couldn't get there. Singularity. But like, as an independent creator, like, I don't know. I guess we're talking about that now.
In the end, it comes for us all. Like well, let's just ride it out while we still have human artists.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, like, so I wanted to ask you this before, but like, you kind of answered it because you said you have a kind of a stability with your Patreon subscribers. But like for me, for instance, like, you know, I've been working on this video game for a while. It's like, you know, my contract is going to end in a couple of months. I don't really have anything lined up right now because I haven't been looking. Like at some point, I'm going to have to look for another job and like blah, 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 blah. But like, what happens if the algorithm for you just decides like, oh, reels aren't important anymore because like this other thing, like your income is completely cut off. I guess you still have the Patreon subscribers, but like, you know, what's the backup plan? Or like, how do you, because like for me, it would cause me anxiety to be like, well, I'm running my own career and I feel like it's held together by like things I can't control.
I think, you know, I'm aware. I think the thing that helps me is that I'm aware of how volatile it is to just be, you know, sort of at the mercy of these social media platforms. So I build in assurance. Like you said, the Patreon, that's like a big one where I know, like, I have those people who support me and I know how much I'm making. And then the other thing that I think creators need to do, this is so important. You got to build an email list. You need to build the newsletter because, you know, Instagram shuts down, your account gets deleted, or people just stop using it. Who knows? Like, you know, Facebook, who uses that? Who's looking at content on Facebook anymore? Like, I don't know if there were Facebook creators, but people stop using platforms is what I mean. And so
Totally.
to have something where you can reach people and you don't have to rely on a third party, I think is super valuable.
You're
So
bringing me
I've been building up my email list
back to my business days. Email is still the number one, most interacted with form of interacting with people. It
Top
makes a lot of
10
sense.
creator tips with Catino World.
So how do you build an email list from Instagram?
So I mean, the way I have done it is just through my shop.
So if somebody
So
buys
people,
something,
yeah, and it's like, hey, do you want to subscribe? So I've built up like a decent list of people, and it's nice to have that route where if I release a new product and the reel doesn't do well or the post doesn't do well on Instagram, at least I know I've got that other avenue where I'm reaching people. I don't have to worry about an algorithm. I may have to worry about spam filters, but yeah.
So have you like built a whole funnel and everything? Like if somebody comes to your website, well, actually I went to your website. I wasn't trying to get into the email list, but like, is that something you've considered doing? Like you go to a website and it's like, hey, do you want this 10 free comics or like you want comics delivered to your blah, 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 sign up, blah, like, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to employ anything that's really annoying. I try not to
Yeah.
employ
Don't
anything that's
employ
like an I
people.
went to a site and saw this, would I be angry?
Right,
Would I be
right.
like, oh my God, shut up. Click away.
Exactly. Gosh.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of chatting so far and asking you questions. Is
Yeah.
there anything that's come up for you that you wanted to share so far? Like, or
I
your journey?
mean, yeah, talking about sort of how it happened, I'd love to share that. It's
Oh
sort of
yeah,
an
let's talk
interesting,
about that.
yeah. So I mean, to start, it was COVID, and I was just like, well, there are no jobs in the film industry, like it's shut down. I was like, let's get back into animation. It had been a while since I had made anything, and I was like, let's just
MS
open up
Paint.
Flash. MS Paint. I made a few videos in Flash just with like memes. This was the era where TikTok was really growing, and animators were getting on there, and I was like, okay, like let's try it out. So I made a few videos, and nothing really came of it until I made this video that was like, it was like a Sharkboy and Laugh-A-Girl scene, where I edited like this Roblox meme scream, like into the video, and it blew up. It got like millions of views, and it became this like TikTok trend. So my audio actually went trending.
Oh my gosh.
So there were like people with like 4 million followers on TikTok who were like using this audio. Like it was absolutely insane. And my account went from like nothing to like 50,000 followers or something like that. And I was like, it was overwhelming. I was like, oh my God, like whoa. And the thing is, like, I feel I need people to know I edited the scream. I created that edit, which went viral. Because
That's
sometimes
insane.
I'll see it. I'll see the audio pop up, and I'm like, oh my God, that's my edit. Like, I put that scream
It's
in
your
there.
contribution to the
That's my yeah. So that
worldwide
was
web.
my exactly. That's my contribution to the world. So someone update Know Your Meme and put me on there.
That's crazy. And like it's a little soul crushing for me to hear. Like my style of like creative output is like I love stop motion and I love creating
Yeah.
movies. I'll spend like months creating characters and
God.
like
Yeah.
everything. And I'm lucky if it gets like 100 views. And then I hear somebody like you just like Sharkboy, Lavagirl, mashed up
No,
in
it's
Roblox.
insane. And your stuff is so like you're so talented. Like I love your work.
Thank
It's
you.
great.
That's
But the
just
fact that
crazy.
people are not giving Silly Duck Wizard 1 million views is insane.
Well, there's some alternate reality where it's as big as I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta make Silly
Everybody's
Duck
got a
Wizard.
duck wizard in their fridge.
You
So,
gotta make Duck Wizard like dab or something.
I mean,
Make him say like Ohio Gyat.
yeah, right. So, okay, so you're like, wait a minute, Sharkboy and Lavagirl and Roblox hits.
Yeah,
I got
so
50,000. I have 50,000 people waiting for my next. My next my next hit.
Yeah,
Like,
so
did you like, so it's, you're unemployed, it's COVID, you can't go anywhere. You are sitting by yourself at home. You're like washing your groceries. You're like filtering your air. You make
yeah.
this thing that everybody loves. Like, do you immediately just like get to work and go crazy, or do you like step back and go like, business plan?
No, I was not. No, see, that came way later. At this point, I was not that smart. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna keep doing what I do, which is like make a video every month. I was like, whatever, it takes a long time.
So one video a
So
month.
I think so, something like that. I was not
Wow.
making videos very frequently. And so as a result, TikTok was like, yeah, well, we're just not gonna really show people your stuff because you don't post frequently. So I made a bunch of videos after that, and they did not do any numbers. I was like, okay, that's cool. And so it had gotten to this point where I was like kind of frustrated. I was like, you know what? I'm a little burnt out of like just doing memes. They get views, but they don't, usually they don't do too well. So I was like, there was this song called Meow by Lovesum that was trending. And I was like, oh, this is fun. This is a fun song. So my idea originally was I'm just gonna have a cat meowing at a dog and like annoying it. And I was like, okay, like there we go. And I get to work on it and I start sketching and I have all these different cat designs because I didn't know how to. I was like, I don't know what to draw for like a simple cat. And I wanted something like really easy to animate. So eventually, as I'm animating this video, I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. But like, what if I just had more fun with it? And I had drawn these little like blob cats as a design. So I was like, what if the blob cats just spawn in? And so I drew them in. And then I drew in more dancing, and then I had an army of them, and then they formed into this giant mega cat. And I was like, people are going to hate this. This is so weird. No one's gonna like this video. I was like, I'm gonna post it anyways, though, because I think it's funny. And I was like, but you know what? I need to give them a name. And that was like, I feel like that was like the turning point in like the like multiverse effect where we're in this timeline where I was like, I'm gonna name them Catino. And it's funny because like my initial idea, my girlfriend speaks Spanish. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna take like the suffix for small, like, and I'm gonna like combine that with cat. But I misspelled it. So it should have been Catito, but I misspelled it as Catino. And my girlfriend was like, that's actually cute. You should just use that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll use it. And so the name was born, and I posted the video. And then I was like, okay, I went to the mechanic to get an oil change. And as I'm sitting there, I go on my phone, and I'm not kidding you. Every time I refreshed, I got 1,000 more followers. It was like, absolutely. Even to this day, I've never experienced growth like that. Like, it was absolutely surreal. And that video got to like 2 million views in a day. And then by the end of the week, had 4 million.
Were you like
And I,
nervous to drive home from the mechanic? Did you show the mechanic being like,
yeah,
what's
hey,
going
look at
on?
this. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was crazy. I remember just like, I don't know, it was so surreal. I didn't even know how to process it at the time. It was so cool. And no one was calling them Catinos at that point. Everyone was just calling them cats. And I was like, okay, the name is not sticking. So yeah, at that point, it was all on this account called Half Cactus, and then I kept posting videos, and they just slowly started getting less views. And then the nail in the coffin was I posted this meme about like Beast Boy and Raven, and it was like an innuendo sort of joke about like Raven wanting to like go to bed with Beast Boy when he's a horse. It was like very tame and like mostly implied, but I got like a strike on my account and that was it. The account was dead.
Wow.
No views after that. I posted a video like 50 views. I had like 100,000 followers. It was like, I was so sad. I was like, well, it's over. Like, this is it.
That's
It just
crazy.
started and now it's over.
Somebody must have reported you, I guess, for so or like another
I
account
guess
reported you.
so. I mean, I assume that's how it works. I think what really did it was I didn't appeal it. I just deleted the video. So it had happened to me once before. I made this video about Ditto farting and he had like a big butt. Yeah, amazing content. Yeah,
I
I
love
know.
that, but that's gonna get you a strike.
Yeah, so someone striked that, and I was like, no. So I appealed that, and then it was fine. But with the Beast Boy Raven one, I was just worried because at this point I had a way bigger following, and I was like, oh, I don't want to like risk it. And then that ended up being way worse, I guess.
That's crazy that you went from 100,000 followers to just no views afterwards.
Yeah, it just flatlined.
And then
It's
you
like,
built that
yeah.
back up like times three.
So yeah, then months later, so I had a job at that point when I made the Catino video. I was working. But then months later, they lay off our team. They're like, yeah, we don't need this anymore. The person who hired you guys, we fired him. So you're all gone too.
Great.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. So then, yeah, it was not too long after that that I made the Catino video. Or wait, yeah, so sorry. Not too long after that I made the Catino account on Instagram. So at that point, everything was just under like my username, Half Cactus. And then my sister was like, you should just make an account on Instagram for just the Catinos. Like, and I was like, no, that's such a dumb idea. Like, split the content. So like for months, I was like, nah, that's a bad idea. And then she was like, just do it. I was like, okay. She's like, she works like in marketing, so I don't know why I wouldn't have listened to her.
What the heck?
And so, yeah, within like a month of doing that, it sat at like 200 followers for a month. And then one day it just blew up and got to like 2,000. And then the next day, like 5,000, 10,000. And that's when I was like, okay, business plan. I cannot let this slip through my fingers again.
So what? I mean, I don't know if that's a joke, but like, what did this business plan entail?
I mean, okay, it's not like I'm some mastermind businessman, but basically I was like, okay, I need to like sell stickers. Like while the iron's hot, I gotta strike. So I mean, and this was when I realized like, oh my God, this could actually be something. I'd actually ordered a couple stickers when the TikTok was still doing well. So I had those and I was like, okay, let's try and sell these. And they sold out within like 2 hours, and I
Wow.
made like $1,000 in that time. And I was
What?
like, oh my God, like, whoa,
Yeah,
this is
right.
like, yeah. So yeah, that was the point where I was like, oh my God, like this could actually be something. And then I just kept going. I just kept making videos. The Instagram kept growing. People were excited about merch, and
That's crazy.
yeah.
What a wild ride. Like looking back, like would you have done anything differently knowing where you are now? Like it sounds like you might have. It sounds like you had a lot of interesting growing pains.
Yeah, it's true. Like, there's definitely a lot that I learned. I think the biggest thing I would do differently is those points where I was having like the big explosion of growth, I would have tried to promote all my other social media links because I think the best time to get someone to follow you on other platforms is when they find you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the fact that I didn't even have like when the Catino tick or sorry. When the Catino Instagram blew up, I didn't even have a Catino TikTok. I didn't have a YouTube channel. I didn't have a Twitter. It was just the Instagram. So I think I missed out on a lot of like potential growth for those platforms.
How do you push people to other platforms? Just like a link
It's
in
really
bio?
hard. It's very difficult.
Because like I don't think I've ever seen somebody being like something that I've liked, and then they're like, follow me also on YouTube. Like
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's moving people across platforms is definitely difficult. You
I mean,
see it on
like,
YouTube more where people are like, "Oh, follow my Twitter,
yeah,
follow
I
my
don't even like
Instagram."
I like don't follow the same people on Instagram and YouTube or Twitter. Like I
It's
follow
usually
completely different people on all
yeah.
platforms.
It's
And
interesting
like,
because most like Instagram creators are not also YouTube creators.
yeah. And I've noticed
Yeah.
that YouTube creators, when I go to their Instagram, there's like nothing. They'll have like their posts on Instagram, and
Yeah, I
they'll
know.
have like
It's.
no followers.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to assume it's because, like, there's not really much of a benefit to, like, having an Instagram if you're already a YouTuber. Like, Instagram's not gonna pay you. You're making your money on YouTube. So, other than sort of, like, having a way to, like, maybe share some, like, life events with your followers,
Well, like, why
probably
not push
in.
your merch on Patreon on all platforms, I guess, like.
Yeah, I don't know. It is interesting. But yeah, I think if you're going to get people to follow you on other platforms, it's probably going to be right when you're experiencing like a big growth period.
Yeah, makes sense. So,
Yeah.
like, set up for success is find something that hits home, I guess. Like, experiment until you find something that hits home
Yeah.
with like the world. Then take that thing and like brand it, extrapolate it, try to keep it current.
That I think the biggest thing is honestly keeping it consistent,
Consistent.
especially with short form content on apps like Instagram and TikTok. People really want to see the same.
Yeah.
If they follow you for one thing and then you post something that is different, first of all, they might not even realize you're the same creator. They might see and be like, "Who is this? I don't remember following this person." Unfollow, especially on TikTok.
That makes a lot of sense. I actually have been following this, I won't say who it is, on
Yeah.
Instagram, this amazing artist for years and years and years, and they're trying to rebrand themselves by doing like behind the scenes artists. Like, I never saw
Yeah.
their face before or anything. I just like their
Right.
art. We post their art. And like this last month, all they're posting is like, who's the artist behind this art? And it'll be like a
Yeah.
picture of their art and then this person working out in the gym or like cooking. I'm like, I don't want to follow you anymore. But
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, exactly. And like exactly what you said, like my only excitement that I've ever experienced on social media was when I posted the silly duck wizard and it was getting like, I don't know, crazy views. But
Yeah.
I didn't post anything related since. And like all the interest on my Instagram is like completely gone. It's just people who
Yeah.
know who I am, basically.
Like, there's no, I don't think that it's a coincidence that as soon as I started like having an account that was like focused on Catino, like it's one thing. Like, you're gonna see orange cats when you follow this page. And that's when it took off. It's especially interesting because my other account took off at the same time. So Half Cactus, I had videos on both that were really blowing up. Half Cactus got to 15,000
Yeah.
and then just flatlined, while Catino at the same time just kept growing and growing. So yeah, it was sort of interesting to see, like, they were, because at for a while they were growing at the exact same rate. It was like they were both 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, but then after 15, it was just like Half Cactus was done and Catino, kept soaring.
Yeah, I guess that's a testament to like how strong a brand can be. Like people connected with something and they want to see more of it and they expect to see more of it versus like if you're always posting different things. Like if you go to a lot of artists' Instagrams and look at their early stuff, it's kind of all over the place until
Yeah.
they find something and then it's just that.
Yeah, you see that a lot now, especially on TikTok, where like, I mean, it's also like, I'm not trying to shade on like the skit community, but you'll see a lot of like skit makers,
Oh
and they
my
just sort of
God.
do the same one skit
It's
over and
like
over
that.
again
It's
with
like
like
that
different
Italian
hats
couple
on.
where the guy is the girl is always chopping pasta, and he always comes in every single time and is yelling at her like, "What are you doing?" And they have like 500 videos of this exact same content with different pasta, and it's like, what the heck are these people
Yeah, I haven't
doing?
seen that specifically, but I know exactly what it
Oh,
would be. Yeah.
like what has
Like,
your life become? Like for so, like I guess one of my fears is I don't want to go all in on a concept. Because I like doing a variety of stuff, like even
yes.
stop motion. Like I'm working on a 2D video game right now and I'm loving it
Yeah. Oh,
versus
that's awesome, also. Yeah.
like stop motion or like mixed media or like, I don't know, maybe I'll want to become a like sculptor at some point. Like you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like versus
That's Yeah, that's the big challenge, because like it can be really creatively stifling to have to make the same thing. And I feel the exact same way when I watch those
like
videos.
Alec.
I'm like, how are you not wanting to pull your hair out? Like, you're just doing the same video.
60-year-old Alec being like, I hate drawing this cat so much. I
Like,
guess
I
it's like with the
think,
old like Peanuts or like Charlie Brown or like
yeah.
Garfield, like that's their whole life drawing this stupid cat
I
in
know, like
every
the
situation. Wait, that's you.
It is me, but and
Wait,
like
wait
I
a
can't
minute.
remember her name now, but the creator of Moomin like
Yeah.
experienced that, where she was just like, oh my God, like this is it now. Like, I'm just the Moomin lady. Yeah, for
but that's
me,
what
I've
the world
been,
sees you as. You do something else and nobody
yeah,
wants that.
I've at least been very lucky that, I mean, yeah, call it luck or call it like my design, I guess, but the Catinos are really versatile and that they can be anything.
Right.
So, and like
Posted
that
like
is,
a ham
yeah, that was,
on
and that was
pirate
the
ship.
first one. That was the first time a Catino ever like became something else.
Oh.
It did so well. And like, honestly, it wasn't even because it did well. I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, oh yeah, like they can be anything. They can just
Yes.
transform.
I mean, in my
And
mind, it's
that
still a
has
cat
saved me.
somehow.
Like, let me tell you, Terry, if I didn't have the ability to just make Catinos whatever I wanted and they were just orange cats, yeah, I would not be here right now. I would be insane.
So let me ask you this. If you've created such a strong brand, could you potentially pass it on? Run it as a studio, get bigger, run
Yeah.
it as a studio. You're already hiring a company to like manage all your merch sales, whatever. Get a team, pass on your style, and have it run that way versus like always be at the forefront of creativity. Like you already said I mean, you said you're not rich, but at the same time, your time is already, you're having a hard time keeping up with the econ side and the creative side. Like, how do you foresee this happening?
I think if that were to happen, it would be like far down the road.
Hmm.
I mean, at this point in time, I just do not have the resources to like hire on anyone
Yeah.
other than like occasional like help with some videos. But also like I just don't really want to yet. Like I still have a lot of fun doing this and I like it's mine. Like this is my thing right now. I don't want to like just hand it off to someone. You know, I'm not like I'm not at the place yet where I'm ready to accept my $1 million from Disney. No, I would never do that. I honestly, the most important thing to me is like ownership of my characters.
Okay.
I would there's no amount of money I would sell the Catinos for. And like you could
Wow.
call me crazy. You could call me crazy. But in my mind, if someone's willing to make an offer of an amount of money, that means they think it's worth more than that. And therefore I'll make the money. I'm passionate about my creations, and to me, some things are more important than money. You know, maybe one day I'll be destitute and I'll say something different. I don't know, but I'm very attached to the things I create, and it's the big reason I moved to, like, I gravitated towards the independent side because, like, if I'm designing a character, I don't like the fact that someone else would own it. I want it to be mine. Like it came from my brain, it came through my hands, it's mine. And it definitely, if it comes to where I'm like passing on the torch, it would be it would hurt. It would be like, you know, I'm letting go of something.
I mean, those are.
And that's the big reason why I've moved like the merch side because you know, I'm a creative person, and while I like, you know, this is a business and I have to treat it that way, that's not the part that I'm like, yeah, get to sell t-shirts. Let's go. Like,
That makes, I mean,
yeah.
100%. I totally agree with that. Random question. Have you ever come across somebody in the wild wearing a t-shirt of Catino?
No, I actually haven't. I don't think it's as big in Canada.
That would be crazy. Okay, another question.
Yeah.
First of all, I love how passionate you are and that you've been able to support yourself creating this. I think that's amazing. That's like every creator's dream is to like export something from their brain and receive enough from the world to keep going at it. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It kind of this question kind of spans back to the AI and copyright thing. Like, Catino is not very hard to replicate. So like I could tomorrow be like, I am an animator. I know how to animate. I know how to put together memes. This account is doing very well. Like what's to stop? Like what if somebody else starts? I'm sure people are already animating their own Catinos. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah. I mean,
what
no,
is.
actually, yeah, it's never happened. I think people are, I don't know. I guess it is an easy, it's definitely an easy thing to steal, but I think at this point, like, even if someone were to steal it, I have such a following that, like, I think people would rally and be like, no, like,
Yeah.
you know? And yeah, I'm definitely in the process of, like, you know, trademarking Catino and, like, going down that route.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know, just for if that happens. And Catino is copyright, so
That's
I've
fair.
got certain protections at my disposal to fight stuff like that. I have had to take down a ton of, those like Redbubble ripoff sites. A
Yes.
bunch of places have stolen my designs, and I've successfully had them erased
Oh,
from the internet.
good. That's great.
It was very stressful the first time it happened. I remember I Googled Catino World, and all the results were just like people stealing my designs, and I was like, oh my God, oh my, what do I do? Like,
That's so discouraging, but also encouraging because you're that
I got them
successful.
taken down, so there's a happy ending.
Okay. We've talked about a lot. It's been very insightful, but let me ask you, like, maybe just one more question is like, on a daily basis, like from an outside perspective, like somebody who isn't in the animation world, you're like, it sounds silly, but you're animating a little blob and you're making a full-time career out of it. And a lot of people aspire to do that. How does it like feel on a daily basis to be doing this as like, this is what you're doing with your life? Like, I'm an artist. I know what it feels like. I do it every single day. I have moments, especially when I go downtown Toronto and I take the train and it's like a weekday and everybody's wearing business suits. And I used to have that life. And I was like, wow, everybody's lives are so boring. And I just go and live a little fantasy world where I'm like animating really cool characters. Like, how does it feel to animate, like to animate a blob on the internet? Like, do you know what I mean?
No, I think I know what you mean. I mean, yeah, it's surreal. Like, I remember before I was like a content creator, I would look at other people with simple designs and be like, I could do that. Like, and then do it.
You're
Right?
right. Well, here you
So,
go.
that's kind of like how I feel. It's like, I think, minimalistic designs are harder than people give them credit for. Like, some of my minimalistic designs like have taken me a lot of time. I mean, Catino, to be fair, did not take me that long. But some of my other designs
Was gonna say,
did
somebody who's
take.
practicing life drawing and proper anatomy. And
But the thing is, like, I've also studied art. Like, I've studied life drawing, and I studied anatomy. And yeah, like it goes into it. Obviously, like, I mean, I'm not gonna compare Catino to like some other detailed works of art, but there is an art to cartooning.
Of course. It's a
So
whole other set of rules
yeah,
in
exactly. And
animation and storytelling completely.
yeah,
And
and
you can't take like a seasoned Disney animator and ask them to animate something like Catino and them for them to be successful at it.
yeah,
And
there's a lot that goes into it. And like, also like the humor is an aspect of it, and like, yeah, there's a ton that goes into it. But I think, God, I don't know, are we getting away from your question?
that's fine.
Yeah, like I think just go for it. If you're seeing the little blob and you're like, man, like I want to do that, then just try. Like, put as much time into it as you can. Like, obviously everyone has different, resources available to them, and different amounts of time available. But I think it's worth trying as hard as you can. Like, it's worth putting the resources in that you have.
Totally makes sense. I mean, I was going to ask you if you had any final words or thoughts, but maybe those were, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, final words and thoughts, I guess. I did rip on TikTok a little bit. I'm not a TikTok hater per se. I think I think what I'll say about TikTok, just the last thing, is TikTok's great for reaching people and like getting people to see your stuff. That, like, there's definitely huge worth to that. I just think it's not a place to really try and build a community, which I find to be more important.
So you mean like a
But yeah.
testing ground to see if something's going to be popular?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, there's a huge worth in that actually.
I would say to people who are trying to do this sort of thing, if you have the time available, like if you're a teenager or you just have, time off, or you've got whatever, just do it. Because if you post consistently, there's a good chance people will see it. It's not guaranteed, but I watched a friend of mine grow from like 0 to 50K, and she just posted every day. So yeah, I don't know. You owe it to yourself to try and just try and be consistent, because that's pretty important on these apps, is consistency.
Totally. I think I hear that a lot with people who have that end up in your shoes where they have a big following. It's just do it and be consistent. And
Yeah.
I think that's a good testament. Well, Alec, thank you so much for coming on the chat. It's been like I said, a really insightful chat. I'm super
Yeah.
happy you agreed to do this, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And if you're listening and you want to reach out to Alec or watch more Catino, I definitely recommend you check out his website, which is catinoworld.com, or go give him a follow on Instagram at catinoworld or YouTube at catinoworld as well. And that's all for now. So thank you so much for listening. Okay, bye. The music for this podcast was composed by Willem Mando and the graphics by Luhan Wang. I encourage you to look them up if you've enjoyed their work.